Welcome to an uplifting dialogue, stories about how the arts powerfully transform life with Susan Brender. This is V for Vitality.
This show has been made possible by the support of Plantronics, an endpoint company celebrating 50 years of innovation. I'm Susan Brender, and this is V for Vitality. It's really incredible to listen to music that makes you wonder, how do they do that? How do they get their fingers moving across the keyboard in ways that one would think is absolutely miraculous? Today, I want to welcome to our show Frederick Hodges and Stephanie Trick, both from the world of ragtime and jazz piano. Frederick Hodges is hailed by the press as one of the best jazz and ragtime pianists in the world, and Stephanie Trick is an American stride ragtime and jazz pianist who has performed in many parts of the United States as well as Europe. I want to welcome the two of you. Let's start first by playing two pieces by Frederick Hodges. Now, let's play another two pieces by Stephanie Trick. Your performance and know it's more than sound and emotion. You seem to be improvising, and yet I'm sure that you have really studied this and played it in a way that is very stylistic. Tell me about how you make this happen.
Well, Susan, it's very interesting, the entire process of creating a piece through improvisation. You can either do it on the spot and let your environment inform exactly what you're going to do, or you can have a plan. For example, I study the era from which the pieces come that I play, and I try to replicate the style of that era. And you just have to, through listening to all kinds of music, discover what the style is, what the parameters are, and then you can improvise within that style.
Tell me about your inspiration was to make this work.
Well, I think it's the love of the era from which this music came. You know, the teens and the 20s were a very interesting time. They were a cultural renaissance in the arts, not just music, but in painting and architecture and fashion and movies. And through movies, you can get a good glimpse into the past, and it just seems so exciting that I think that's what inspires me.
Interesting. Stephanie, you too have to have found some passion. You're a young woman who is now an expert at what you do. Your music is absolutely phenomenal. Talk about the two pieces that we played, why you basically chose those pieces for your album. Tell me about the pieces.
The first one that we listened to was Viper's Drag, and I like that piece because it was composed by one of my favorite pianists and composers of the 1920s and 30s, Fats Waller, and his music has had an enormous influence on me, just getting into this type of music called stride piano. Second one, Anitra's Dance, was one of the first pieces that I learned off of a recording by ear, so that's also important to me, and arranged by a stride pianist named Donald Lambert, who was a lesser-known pianist of the era, but made just as incredible interpretations of pop tunes and classical melodies as did Fats Waller and James B. Johnson.
Tell me about stride piano. Let's describe to our audience what that means and what makes it unique.
Well, I can give you my perspective. The simplest definition is that stride was the regional style of ragtime played starting in the late teens and up through the 30s and 40s that you found in Harlem and, you know, performed by black pianists. It's quite virtuosic. It's not that everything is fast, but everything is designed to impress, show off the virtuosity of the performer.
I would agree. It's designed to show off their creativity. And also, I would just add that the term stride comes from the way in which the left hand strides over the keys to hit the lower bass notes and then comes up for a chord. And so it kind of simulates the sound of a double bass by going down into the lower register of the keyboard.
So what makes it a unique sound? Is there something about stride that makes it unique? And if so, how does it set a mood? I mean, does it do something for the mood?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you listen to recordings by the great stride masters like Fats Waller and James P. Johnson, you instantly feel like tapping your toes and dancing. It's so energetic, so wonderful. It's not that there aren't slower pieces in the stride genre. There certainly are. And then I think the slower pieces may not be energetic, but they certainly conform to the description that Stephanie just gave, you know, about the tenths in the left hand. And another aspect of stride is a right-hand part that does a lot of filigree. Certain voicings are characteristic of this style. Mm-hmm. It's just instantly recognizable.
I would definitely agree with that, about the energy, and also that a stride piano is about the way that the right hand interacts with the left hand and creates this certain swinging feeling that's very characteristic of stride.
What kind of process do you have to go through in order to get to the point where you can do stride?
Practice.
Practice.
Yeah. Really, I think Stephanie would agree with this. It's listening. You got to learn the style. There really aren't any books that you can buy that'll teach you. There aren't any teachers that can teach you. The only way you can learn is by intense listening of the recordings from that era, be they phonograph records or player piano rolls. That's where your inspiration is.
Stephanie, you know, that's interesting to me, the whole notion of inspiration, because it's music of another era that you're playing. Somehow this must have resonated with you, this whole, all these sounds, and I want to know why it resonated with you and where you kind of got that inspiration to say, okay, this is where my life's at.
The reason why this music resonates so well with me, I think, is because it has a lot of melody in it. You can always hear the melody. Maybe it's embellished, or like Frederick said, there's a lot of filigree, but you can always hear some melody, and it swings, and it's happy music. So those components really, they really grabbed me. And also, it's emotionally satisfying to listen to and to play. And I think when you're emotionally satisfied and you're convinced of what you're doing, you can convey that very easily when you're performing.
The word emotion just came up, and I think that's very much of interest to our audience about emotions and music. Frederick, let's kind of talk a little bit of music and emotions.
I agree 100% with Stephanie that stride and ragtime also conveys happy emotions. And in many ways, the happier emotions that humans experience are devalued in music. When we listen to classical music, which I love, by the way, and do play, the emotions that are more highly prized are dark and sadness, things like that. But happiness is just as valid an emotion, and ragtime and stride concentrate in that area, and that's what appeals to me. I mean, I, of course, like sad music as well, but the joyousness that comes through ragtime is so infectious, and as Stephanie said, it's so satisfying to experience that, either as a performer or as a listener.
In terms of performing and also listening, let's talk about some of your experience with regard to your listeners, because here you are playing happy music, here you are playing this kind of swingy, really fun music that I would imagine people want to even get up and dance to. Have you had some experiences that you can kind of talk about that really talk to how exciting it is for you to be part of this world?
Well, I'll give you one story that just happened a couple months ago. I was performing at a film festival down in Los Angeles, the Cinecon Film Festival, and they have a big banquet every year, and I play the piano for that banquet, and there are generally a lot of movie stars who attend, and an old movie star came in, and I recognized her, and I knew a lot of the songs that she had introduced back in the 20s and the 30s, and so I started playing them. And she came right up to the piano and spent almost as much of the evening as she could right next to me singing along, and which was a wonderful experience for me. But what was really amazing is that afterwards people came up to me and they said, what a transformation. Normally she's grouchy and grumpy and won't smile and just hates, you know, being anywhere she is. She said, Frederick, your music made this woman happy
yes.
for the first time in years. And I thought, wow, music can do that. That is, you know, a very powerful endorsement for music.
You too, Stephanie. I'm curious.
Oh, well, I've had an experience where I saw what this music can do for my listeners. I was playing in a nursing home a few years ago in L.A., and I was doing my regular repertoire of stride pieces and familiar standards. And halfway through the concert, a man walked into the room. He was a patient, and he went right up to the front and sat right next to the piano. And after the concert, I saw all of the nurses looking at each other in amazement, and it turned out that that man had not been out of his room in 16 years, but he had heard the music being sent over the PA system and had to come out and hear it in person. So that was really an incredible experience for me, how deep this music can touch people.
Frederick, when we listen to the music of some of the famous icons, what made them so fantastic? What is it about their music that really set the style for people like you who are now following in their footsteps?
I think what appeals to me, and especially in Fats Waller's music, is his craftsmanship. People listen to his records, and they're full of humor, and they're so much fun, and they think, oh, he's having a great time too, and he is. But the fact is, it took incredible amount, years of hard work for him to achieve what he achieved. Same with James P. Johnson and all the others. They worked incredibly hard to get where they were, and that's what you have to do today to try to achieve anything is work hard, but to see what these men achieved is just tremendous to me, so inspiring.
Do they tell a story in their music, Stephanie?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it is telling a story because they're using this language that they created, Fats Waller and James P., of stride piano and using those musical ideas to say something that hadn't ever been said before. So I would definitely say they're telling their own story. And I think it's the responsibility of people who are trying to carry on this tradition to also tell their own story and not just repeat what the original masters did. But
really good point, Stephanie. I like that.
And you do that so well, Frederick.
Well, thank you. You're right. The point is there's no point in replicating, imitating someone else's recording because they did it first and they did it better.
Mm-hmm.
So all you can do is create a new story, bring something new to the music. And that's what Stephanie and all the other great pianists in the ragtime and stride world do, is they tell their own story. They make themselves unique. They're not imitators. They're innovators.
You know, there was a very interesting program that dealt with music in the brain. And one of the aspects of that seems to be that some people, it just is built in. It's kind of mechanism in their brain that says, I'm musically inclined and I can just do it. I can sit down and I can hear it. I can feel it. I can express it. I just have that in my brain. Where does that fit into what we're talking about when you say, yes, you have to put a lot of hard work into it, but if you have fingers, you can play? Is there some sort of inclination that people like yourselves have, born with, as they would say, some talent?
I guess so. There has to be some reason some people are willing to sit and practice for hours every day and others aren't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think, Stephanie?
Yeah, I think some of it definitely has to be natural. But I think that comes out what is innately musical. Some people are innately musical. I think that comes out especially in improvisation, because you can make a set piece or classical piece musical because the notes are there, and then you're adding expression to that, your own personal interpretation. But then when you're improvising, you're actually relying on your musical instinct to tell you what to do, and you're just following that. And I think that's an interesting way to see where your natural instincts can take you.
Let's take a break for a second. I'm Susan Brender, and this is V for Vitality. Today we have two amazing stride, ragtime, jazz pianists who are now making the rounds at festivals and different places around the world. They're Frederick Hodges and Stephanie Trick. This is V for Vitality again, and I'm Susan Brender. So let's just get back to talking about Frederick Hodges' music. We heard two pieces. Would you tell us about those two pieces, Frederick?
Well, the first piece that you heard was the Shreveport Stomp by Jelly Roll Morton. And he, of course, was one of the great innovators and originators of jazz and ragtime, and really created his own style, the New Orleans style, of which he's the sole proponent. And I really wanted to record that piece because, first of all, I like it, and secondly, because it's a great departure for me. I'm not known as a Jelly Roll Morton performer, and so I thought it would be fun to do something that's, you know, outside of my normal milieu, but do it in a different way. Most people who play Jelly Roll Morton feel they have to imitate Jelly Roll Morton's characteristic style, but I thought, you know, I'm going to take that piece and do it in stride, as if it were composed and played by, you know, James B. Johnson or Fats Waller. So that was a bit of musical fun for me.
Wow, and it sounded fantastic. So when I listen to it, I'm just about to get up and move around. Do you find that that's what happens when you're performing? People are just dancing in their seats, or do they get up? There was something that I heard about this community, and I'm calling it a community because it sounds like the folks who come to listen to Frederick Hodges and also Stephanie Trick are people who perhaps love this and have a passion for this music. What is this community like?
A ragtime and traditional jazz community is a very interesting community. These people are devoted to the music and to many of the performers. And Stephanie and I play at festivals all over the country, all over the world, as a matter of fact. And guess what? It's almost always the same audience. No matter where you go, you see in the front row the same faces. It's just wonderful to see that level of devotion to the music.
Stephanie, can you tell us what you're in the process of doing as we speak?
I'm in the middle of a tour of California, where I was at the West Coast Ragtime Festival in Sacramento along with Frederick and a lot of other really great ragtime pianists. And I just finished playing at the San Diego Jazz Festival last weekend, and I have some other concerts in between. And then as for projects, I'm in the middle of working on a project with a fabulous singer, the daughter of jazz critic Leonard Feather, Lorraine Feather, and we're doing a project called Nouveau Stride, where she has written lyrics to many of the stride pieces and some by other early jazz composers like Duke Ellington that didn't originally have lyrics, and I'm playing them and accompanying her as she performs them. So that's a project that I'm really interested in and excited about right now.
And Frederick, what's in store for you in the short term?
Well, in the short term is getting through the busy holiday season of gigs and performances. And then starting next year, I have a lot of concerts in January and then big festivals. I'm really excited about a festival, or actually it's a concert, a double concert on two different days at the end of June outside of Chicago, in which I'll be performing with a theater organ. We'll be doing duets and other pieces. I'm very excited about that.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting. So if people want to locate the two of you, let's start with you, Frederick. Where do they find out where you're appearing and what you're doing?
Well, the best way is to go to my website, which is simply my name, frederickhodges.com.
And how about you, Stephanie?
They can go to my website at stephanietrick.com.
And last but not least, what is going to happen when young people who are so used to very different music today go to a concert by that Stephanie Trick or Frederick Hodges is performing at? What do you think is going to happen?
Go ahead, Frederick.
Well, the amazing thing about the ragtime world is that it is full of young performers. You know, kids, well, I don't want to call Stephanie a kid. I mean, she's a young lady, but she was once a kid, I remember. And, you know, they come to these concerts and they're absolutely captivated by the music, and it inspires them to become pianists of their own or just to become, you know, aficionados. The music is infectious. It's just amazing the effect it has people of all ages, especially on young people.
I think an important point to add is that it's not just interesting to people who remember it from when they were growing up. I mean, there's something intrinsic about this music that is, like Frederick said, infectious, and it just really grabs you and pulls you into it.
Well, thank you both for being on V for Vitality. It sounds like the two of you are extremely vital to our society and to our music world, and that you bring a vitality that is infectious, because I can't wait, to tell you the truth, to go to one of your concerts. I look forward to it. So, again, Stephanie Trick, an American Stride ragtime and jazz pianist, and also Frederick Hodges, hailed by the press as one of the best jazz and ragtime pianists in the world. So it was a real pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
Take care now.